Welcome to the Wretched Hive Podcast.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Moss Eisley Spaceport.
What are you talking about?
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
This is ridiculous.
We must be cautious.
Actually, we're just a bunch of guys talking about Star Wars and other stuff.
I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
That's good news.
I like the sound of that.
We have a trailer! Finally! First we get Darth Vader, Ahsoka, and Rebels. Then days later we get the Blu-ray release. And then we have a Rogue One trailer. Who knew all this would happen in 1 week? Well, a couple weeks since our last episode anyway. And you have found the Wretched Hive Podcast, Episode 8. For Friday, April 15th, and guys, it is a big show. There is so much going on in the Star Wars universe, and let's just jump right into it. Joining me, we've got the Wretched Five, all on board. Of course, we always start with my good friend and yours, Greg Lent.
Steve Baldwin. Like Kobe Bryant, I think we're going for a full 60 tonight. For a full 60. Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me. Welcome to probably the most longest awaited, I know that's horrible grammar, but the longest awaited trailer in this podcast, dare I say, history.
Illustrious. Illustrious history. And the difference between us and Kobe, though, as noted before the show, we are going to be able to walk tomorrow morning.
Yes.
Don't know if the same is true with Kobe. And you also heard another voice, several other voices there, but, well, you know him, you love him. He's a lifelong Star Wars fan. His name is Scott Ivansky.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Steve Baldwin. I like to go by, I am not, for the record, I am not Ray's mother. That's all I'm saying. I am one of the few people out of the running for that. So, but thank you for having me. Excited to talk.
I have not been eliminated as of yet.
No.
You know, don't sell yourself short. You could be Ray's mother.
I could.
I don't know. Anyway, we also have the captain of the Millennial Falcon, Nico Rodriguez.
Hi, Captain. Hi, I'm here tonight.
Welcome.
All the night.
And last but not least, Dave, do not call him Harry Potter.
I just have to say that would be some serious midichlorian magic if Scott Ivansky was Ray's mother.
Hey, I saw that Schwarzenegger film. I know how it works.
It's not a tumor.
I would rather Scott Ivansky be Ray's mother than it have it be another force rape situation. So that's all I'm saying.
Oh, man.
I believe that was cut from a former episode. I don't know that we aired that, but welcome to the Wretched Hive After Dark.
7 minutes.
Steve Baldwin.
We need special After Dark music.
Ooh. All right. That'll be produced this week.
Mm. You can bleep that. You have my permission.
Guys, some quick show updates. Our show has been downloaded over 500 times.
Woo!
Woo-hoo!
Big, yeah!
Big benchmark.
When do we get into
us.
The Radio Hall of Fame? When is that happening?
We're already there.
500 million?
Didn't you get the memo on that? We're in. We're in.
We're in.
Oh.
Eighth episode. Awesome. Yep, we're in. And, folks, you can. We really would love to connect with you. Facebook is happening, man. We're having some good conversations there. Facebook.com/WretchedHivePodcast.
And, yeah, there's some great conversations coming up on our Facebook page. I want to thank the listeners that are sending in their debates, their questions. It's a fun time.
Yeah, Mr. Scott Ivansky actually had a great post, posting as the Wretched Hive Podcast about the Rogue One trailer that I think we're going to talk about in a second. In fact, guys, I'm so anxious to get into this. Let's just do this, okay? Let's do it right now. Rogue One. Here we go.
Rogue One across. That's
over 1,000 generations. The Jedi Knights were the guardians of peace and justice in the Old Republic.
It's grounded, like a lot of subject views of what it's like to be really in
a war in the Star Wars universe.
Attacking that battle station ain't my idea of courage. It's more like suicide.
A rogue band of resistance fighters unite for a daring mission to steal the Death Star plans and bring new hope to the galaxy.
Rogue One Reconnaissance.
Rogue One Reconnaissance. Request one round elimination ASAP, ASAP. Roger, stand one round elimination. Stand by.
State your name for the record.
Jyn Erso.
Forgery of Imperial documents. Possession of stolen property. Aggravated assault. Resisting arrest.
On your own from the age of 15. Reckless, aggressive, and undisciplined.
This is a rebellion, isn't it? I rebel.
We have a mission for you. A major weapons test is imminent. We need to know what it is and how to destroy it.
Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
What will you do when they catch you? What will you do if they break you? If you continue to fight,
awesome.
We have a Rogue One trailer, and it is a fantastic, fantastic trailer in this man's opinion. And I can't wait to hear what the rest of the Wretched Five think. Guys, first reaction, what do you think?
I'm stunned. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. But I have some new thoughts on it, especially after playing that audio right there.
All right.
I was super impressed. I thought it was exactly what I wanted out of a trailer. It didn't tell me a whole lot of who these people were or what was going on. It looked like old Star Wars, and I am intrigued for sure.
Mm-hmm. Dave Potter, what say you?
I agree with Greg. I thought it was a perfect tease because it gives you just enough leg, but not so much that you get the whole show.
Nice.
And I loved, 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 loved the production values on it. It hits that right balance of, like Greg says, you feel like you're in that old world, but it doesn't look dated. I don't look like I'm watching a film made in 1977.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Nico, your first reaction when you saw the trailer?
Donnie Yen. Star Wars Kung Fu.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm stoked on that. He's one
Star
of my
Wars
favorite.
Needed more samurais.
Well, I can't figure out what I like most about it. I mean, I love all of it. There's not one piece of that I don't think looks fantastic. The beach scene with the AT-ATs.
The AT-AT beach party.
Immediately iconic to me. I mean, that just looks and feels like old school Star Wars, but fresh and new. It's so cool.
It needs some Dick Dale guitar humming over the background there as they come up.
Some Jedi out there going, if I say it's safe to surf this beach, it's safe to surf this beach.
I love the smoke.
I am an FBI morning. Agent.
How do we go from Apocalypse Now?
I don't know. We're all over.
Oh my God!
This is how.
That was the most natural segue in the world.
Well, I know kung fu.
Show me.
There's been so much that we've said online and that I've heard online. Let's just break this down a little bit. So, you know, Scott, you had quite a bit to say about this, and I'd really like to get your current take. See if it's changed in the last few days at all. About a couple of things. One is this, clearly the Imperial leader that's wearing a white cape, looks like a Grand Moff.
I'm going to stand correct. I'm going to correct you on that for a second, Steve. That's Grand Admiral.
Grand Admiral.
Very important distinction.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there is a big difference. However, I do have some new additions to it. I am not changing my opinions from what I posted on our Facebook page. I do like the write-ups that I had on there, but I do want to add a couple things that I noticed. One, I do love this trailer a lot. Like it, I have rewatched this tons of times, but I do want to say the way that they're building it up, it really does intrigue me. I don't know. Like you guys mentioned, you don't know the story. Nothing's being revealed. Nothing's being spoiled for us. But I like the fact that the main character, Jen, oh my goodness, I'm going to forget her name. The actress. Guys, help me out on that. I'm sorry?
Felicity Jones.
Oh. Felicity Jones. How she's in cuffs being hauled over to the rebel base at the beginning. It looks like she's actually in trouble doing something that even the rebels are kind of like, hey, we got to have a little chat with you. Mm-hmm. I like that fact. That intrigues me, makes me want to know more about this character. The other thing is I noticed is the voiceover towards the end says something to the effect of which side you're on. I need to go back and actually hear the exact quote. But as that voiceover is happening is right when you see the reveal of her in the Imperial TIE fighter pilot uniform. Mm-hmm. And I like that. That makes me feel like, is she playing both sides of this game? Is she what's going on with this? Is she a spy for the rebels? I really love this trailer.
I mean, my first thought when I saw her in the what looks like a TIE pilot uniform at the end, maybe she's in, you know, she's infiltrating the Death Star to get the plans. She's, you know, dressing like one of them. She's
exactly.
In costume, that sort of. And then in the beginning, you know when they take her in and she's, you know, face to face with Mon Mothma. I kind of got the feeling like, you know, this is an impossible mission. What have they got to lose sending this criminal or, you know, sort of outcast into the fray? If she's successful, great. And if she's not, they don't lose much. You know, not knowing anything about the plot, that's kind of what I took from those few precious seconds that we had there with Mon Mothma, who I thought. The actress that plays Mon Moth, I can't remember her name right now, but we got to be better with names on this podcast, guys. But she was actually in the deleted scenes, I believe, for episode 3. Her scenes as Mon Mothma did not make the film. Obviously, they were left on the cutting room floor, but I think that's the same actress.
It is. You are correct. And what a brilliant move to bring that actress back. She looks so much like the original actress who played Mon Mothma in Return of the Jedi. But a much younger version. I love the idea that this character, this main lead female character, is kind of the rogue element. She's the Han Solo of this film. Like, you don't know which side she could play.
Is she Rogue One?
I think she's Rogue One. Mm-hmm. There you go. I'm with that.
And the actress you're trying to think of, if I can jump in real quick, is Genevieve O'Reilly.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah. Quick fact check for you real quick.
Thank you.
Yeah, in the deleted scene, you know, she obviously looks, you know, she's got the short red hair and everything like that. In the episode 3, you know, she looks like her, but they, you know, it was clearly another actress playing the part. You know, dressing her up in the basically the exact same outfit they had her in Return of the Jedi. So I guess what they're saying is basically Mon Mothma has no change of clothes after 30 years at all. But aside from that is she is just spot on. Like, they must have surgically altered this poor woman to get her to look exactly, exactly like her. Cause Jesus Christ, does she look like her?
Oh my God. Seriously. The face and everything about her looks so much like the original actress. It frightens me. The worst part about it is they couldn't even get the necklace right, but you got the human factor right. That blew me away. Just a little bit off of that necklace, but you got the same DNA genes. Oh, what the hell? That was mind-boggling to me.
And Greg, I think we may have uncovered another Star Wars controversy that we need to investigate, because if she's stealing, you know, if she's got only one change of clothes for 30 years, Lando's stealing Han's clothes, right, at the end of Empire. So there's something going on here.
Well, Han wasn't using him at that point, so it's okay.
I just want one scene with Han. Is that my vest?
But the scene, Steve, the scene that stuck out for me is that kind of flash that you have of the character in the dark cape coming into the lit room with the two red figures on either side of a pillar. It's there for maybe a second or two, and you can't tell who it is, who's kneeling, or what's going on, but it almost seems like it's Darth Vader going into a throne room and kneeling before where the Emperor would be.
Well,
which
if there's just Imperial
chronologically
guards,
on the timeline would make perfect sense.
If there are Imperial guards in the room, what does that mean?
The Emperor is not far behind.
That's right. That's right. Exciting, exciting stuff. And that's a great shot, too. The whole thing, every scene seems to be lit and shot just so perfectly for this trailer. I'm enamored with it.
I love it. I love the effect of, yes, who mentioned that? I'm sorry, I missed that earlier. Dave, was that you or Nico about the way it looks? It's got the old feel, but it doesn't feel like it's shot in 1970s or the 1970s. That was brilliant because it really does feel like the original film, but not dated or worn down or whatever. It's just enough to give me that excited feel of the original film. I love that.
Now, do you think that it clearly that looks like to me that it's they're on Yavin 4, right?
Oh, gotta absolutely.
Be. Yeah, yeah, that base has got to be Yavin 4. Yeah. I've seen somewhere on a couple of the websites out there following the internet echo chamber that they've done some comparison shots of A New Hope and the base in the establishing scenes for the base on Yavin 4 and A New Hope with the scenes here in this trailer. And yeah, they are identical. So I think we can pretty much confirm that it's Yavin 4.
Yeah. Dave, you have something?
No, I was just going to say, based on absolutely no empirical evidence whatsoever, yes, I'm comfortable confirming that it's Yavin 4 beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Well, and they did they did a great job rebuilding the whatever it is, the room where Mon Mothma is standing, the battle, you know, where they monitor the space battle.
The war room.
I mean, it just looks perfect.
You can't fight in here.
Fighting in the war room? Yeah, the interior of the temple that they're on Yavin 4 does look spot on perfect. But yes, there is a great comparison shot. I'll have to dig it up, send it out so we can put it on the website, of the exterior shot of all the heroes from A New Hope standing outside. Oh. What you see is the original entrance as the new character, Jin, is being handcuffed and hauled away across the same entrance way where the X-Wings take off out of, apparently. So.
Allegedly.
Another great shot go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch. We keep jumping back and forth a little bit, so I want to jump back to the shot in the throne room with the Imperial guards and everything in there. So the character that's kneeling, it looks like they're kneeling. It's hard to tell because the shot kind of hits them at their knees. Is wearing a hood, so we don't know exactly who that is. One thing that I did read that's out there is that this may be another character, possibly higher in rank than the Emperor. And I thought that would be kind of lame to do that. And the article I was reading also agreed on that because that's just another retcon. The theory was hinting that it might be Snoke that's actually been pulling the strings even farther behind. But I think I hope that they don't go as far as to retcon the story and that Snoke has been pulling the strings all the way since episode one. I think that would be a poor move.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I'll agree to that.
So I also love the shot of the Star Destroyers, you know, hanging out outside the Death Star as they lower the dish.
Final piece. Oh,
that's
yeah.
just so Man, cool.
That's money. That is
I'd hate
so
to
funny.
Be. I'd hate to be that DirecTV guy.
Does the Death Star?
What do you mean the signal's not at 100%? I already put the dish up. It's too late.
Do they have to point to the Death Star towards the southwest sky? You know, which way is southwest in space? I don't know.
Scott, was it you that was having conversations about the actual Star Destroyers and how somebody was not happy with the Star Destroyers? Was that you who was having that conversation?
Yes, I want to thank Dave for posting that article because I really went off on that person.
So give a recap. What were they saying? I missed it.
I need to pull it up. I'm sorry, but it was somebody was complaining about the color of the Star Destroyers not being as grungy or dingy as they appeared in A New Hope. Although most of the models in A New Hope, the TIE Fighters, Star Destroyers, all originally were a white, very light gray. My biggest complaint was they made some sort of comparison from A New Hope to like Empire Strikes Back and then jump all the way up to The Force Awakens. And they're talking about the crashed Star Destroyers on Jakku. And I'm like, of course they're dirty and grungy. They're crashed and been in battle on Jakku. I mean, for Christ's sakes.
And for how long?
Yeah, for 30 years at least, right? God.
I'm going to say these Star Destroyers just went through the intergalactic Star Destroyer wash and had a good power scrubbing right before they were filmed.
They stopped by Naboo and the Gungans washed them.
Did they get a free wash with a fill up?
So they took that out of the old Death Star and that's what they were putting the new laser dish in for, right? That's
Well, you know, Star Wars fan, you know, we dissect every little detail. So I think it's funny. Well, they're just a little bit lighter than the gray ones that were in A New Hope. You know, fans were saying the same.
George Lucas?
make them a little grayer. They're too white. The fans were saying the same thing about the initial shot we got of the stormtroopers in the transport in The Force Awakens. That first trailer we got where you saw the stormtroopers. There was a reflection of light that was blue or red or something, and fans were going, "Oh, those are blue stormtroopers!" And I'm thinking to myself, "No, they're white, you moron! They're just reflecting the light, you know."
I think the bigger issue was they were complaining about having an African American stormtrooper.
Probably the same moron that was complaining about the blue stormtroopers versus
they
white.
They would complain about everything, and sometimes you just got to let that crap go.
Yeah, because we don't complain about anything on this show.
No.
Never.
We have great complaints. What are you talking about?
It's constructive criticism to the producers.
Was it episode 3 that we took apart Return of the Jedi? I can't remember which. Highly recommend you go back and listen if you think we're saints.
I have no problems except for that goddamn Glenn Frey.
It's so easy to make fun of him. Just wait, back off of
actually,
it.
Actually, was he in the holiday special?
Dave, what were you going to say, Dave?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I thought of Greg earlier tonight. I heard a bit of trivia. Right before the Laker game, they were interviewing Arsenio Hall. And the first time he saw Kobe Bryant play at the Great Western Forum, who do you think was sitting next to Arsenio Hall that night?
Glenn Frey.
Glenn Frey.
I was going to say, George Lucas?
I wasn't there.
I just thought it was interesting that Arsenio Hall chose Kobe Bryant's last game to troll Greg Lent of the Wretched Hive podcast. That's all I'm saying. We have fans everywhere.
You heard it here first.
Guys, we have to go to some major sporting event, get decent tickets, and get banners up with the Wretched Hive. Oh, that would be great just to see us on TV.
Maybe if we can get John Oliver to pay for him, then we're golden.
Wait, we can create a Wretched Hive religion. That would be awesome.
We got to get John Oliver on the show. That might boost our ratings a bit, I think.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I can make that happen.
One last comment about this trailer. Was it Nico? Did you say something about white capes and no one looking good in a white cape? Was that you or am I mistaken about that?
I think you're mistaken about that.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I apologize. I thought it was you.
You have never seen me in a white cape, and I look fantastic,
fabulous.
Well, there was I thought it was you that made some crack about. Is that the ghost of Liberace or something like?
No.
Check what? Those fingers for rings.
Come on, are you guys real? I'm too young for Liberace.
Oh.
So I believe that actor is Ben Mendelsohn in the white cape there. And
you are never too young for Liberace.
He looks great.
Oh, I just got Scott's joke.
I'm so sorry. It's been one of those days.
All right. So in addition to the trailer, that's not the only Rogue One news we've got. There was a first look at Star Wars Rogue One toy packaging. So this draft of the toy packaging was released, and it looks pretty cool. But you know, the movie's several months away still. What about, we're talking about 8 months away or so, and they're already gearing up for the marketing blitz, guys.
Yeah, the Force Friday 2 Electric Boogaloo starts in September. Is that when that is?
Yeah, what's the date on that? Do we have? Can someone research that while we talk?
You talk. I'll go back through the old show notes. You guys talk amongst yourselves.
Okay. Yeah. So let's see. This article is on iDigital Times. It says there's a long road ahead until Star Wars Rogue One hits theaters. In September, Disney will host Force Friday, which will unveil the majority of Rogue One merchandising to eager fans everywhere.
September 30th, 2016 is Force Friday 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Oh, I just saw a post saying that it was September 4th.
Yeah. Ooh, controversy. We have controversy. Episode 8, The Wretched Hive. Well, we'll research that. We know it's in September sometime, and we know that most of us will probably be up late that night. At least me and the kids will, I'm sure of it. No doubt about it.
Yeah, you know, we went over this the last time we talked about Force Friday. I did not buy a single item on Force Friday last time. Did we lose Dave? I think we lost Dave.
Oh, we did?
Oh, I think so.
Mm.
Okay.
Dave, are you there?
Come back.
My bad. That was Force Friday 2015 was on September 4th.
Nico.
Steve, I know you were talking about the packaging, but I do want to come back to the trailer. I know we just jumped off of it, but there were a bunch of things that I did post on the Facebook page that I keep forgetting to mention. But one of them was, yes, the white cape issue is what brought this back up. And you mentioned the Grand Moff issue earlier, and it's Grand Admiral wear the white uniforms.
Okay.
And this is why I brought this up, is I pulled a bunch of screen caps and made some comments about some of the screen caps. One of them is what apparently people are saying is going to be Grand Moff Tarkin, but in a Grand Admiral outfit or uniform, which raises a couple questions about Tarkin. But I also want to say the fact that they're showing a prominent shot of a Grand Admiral in the trailer, I really, really hope that this is an opportunity for them to show there's a circle of them. I can't remember 9 or 12 of the Grand Admirals that were brought up in the expanded universe, which is no longer canon. But from The Force Awakens, they've clearly shown that they've pulled other bits and pieces from other old canon material. Would be a great time to introduce a character like... oh my goodness, I'm totally blanking out right now.
I'm going to read your mind and guess Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Thrawn.
Yes, everybody wants to see Thrawn. You got to throw some blue skin and red eyes on that guy, and he looks like Thrawn to me.
Yes, plus the fact that they're showing all these different types of troopers, not just the classic stormtroopers. You have black troopers, these complete shadow elite troopers, or what in the expanded universe are called shadow troopers. And then you see in what looks to be the Death Star battle station sequence where tons of troopers are running by, camouflage, tan, all different colored uniformed soldiers. And I just can't wait to see this, seriously. I'm so excited. I'm coming back to it. But I'll let you take it from there.
But you know what? There's that's a great point, Scott, because the other thing I forgot to mention was it's so cool seeing the rebel troopers just doing their thing. Like, you know, on Yavin 4, in the temple base, in the rebel base there. And they're just like going about their, you know, duties. Because the only time we saw them in the first movie was on board of Princess Leia's ship, you know, defending her and tried to ward off the Empire. Of course, the massacre ensued.
Oh, yes.
And they got slaughtered. But, I mean, those, I always saw it as a kid, you know, those helmets and the costuming is so cool on those rebel troops, and it's really neat to just see them kind of just, you know, doing their thing.
Oh, absolutely. And here's the thing, you can tell George Lucas had nothing to do with it because nobody stops and has a posed moment looking at the camera and then continues working in the battle station or the secret rebel base. I love that. It's just people doing what they're supposed to be doing.
You know, you talk about the costuming and everything. I don't know if you guys read, I had shot a link up to an article from IO9 where the guy was comparing specifically the Stormtrooper costumes as shown in the Rogue One trailer with the Stormtrooper costumes in Episode 4 and somewhat to Episode 5 too, because there were subtle changes between the Stormtrooper costumes between 4 and 5 that people who... You know, the builders and the makers who are out there making their own costumes, you know, they study those differences and in determining which generation armor they're going to build. And they really tried to stick with a lot more of the style of the armor from 4, obviously, with some minor modifications with what the writer of the article assumed was just to make it easier to move, because apparently the costumes they use, you know, very hard to walk in. Virtually impossible to sit down in. So that since there's, as you can see in the trailer, there's lots of running, lots of explosions, lots of, you know, sudden starts and stops. They've tried to build these things for movement, but still keeping with the Episode 4 motif in the costuming section there.
Yeah, there's way more action, way more stunts involved compared to, let's say, Episode 4, since this is leading into Episode 4. But I did read that article, Greg. That was a wonderful article. And I did notice those little subtle changes. And the only reason why is because, sadly, I am an obsessed collector. So I have seen the battles online between even the minor differences between Stormtroopers and Sandtroopers. And obviously the bigger differences with Snowtroopers in Episode 5. But yeah, I loved it. I loved how the belts are a little bit different. The attachments on that hold the chest plate to the back plate together. It was a fascinating article for those types of details, especially if you're into the cosplay scene and you're getting excited about these new movies. Very detailed. Loved it.
I don't think there's a single one of us that wouldn't put on a set of Stormtrooper armor if it was presented to us.
I'm doing it right now from the waist down.
I am a Stormtrooper.
I just wear the cod piece to work under my khakis every day.
Would you guys like to see? I'll give you a visual. There you go.
All right, guys.
I do not want to see your cod piece.
Guys, we have other news. We have other news.
From ABC News World Headquarters, this is ABC World News Tonight.
No, it's not. It's Star Wars news with the Wretched Hive.
So be it.
A lot of stuff to talk about in the news. And first up, we've got Force Awakens still making headlines in the news. This past week was the MTV Music Awards. And as we discussed 2 weeks ago, and The Force Awakens took the top prize at the MTV Music Awards. According here, I'm reading on, happens to be FoxNews.com. The Force Awakens took the top prize at the 25th annual MTV Music Awards. The audience at Warner Brothers Studios waved what looked like red and blue lightsabers as star Daisy Ridley and actor and director J.J. Abrams accepted the final golden popcorn trophy at Saturday night ceremony. So another big, big night for The Force Awakens.
Did any of us watch this show?
I did not.
Well, I would think the captain of the Millennial Falcon would be the most likely suspect there.
I don't watch TV. I don't have like normal anything to watch anything on. I watch Netflix movies. That's about it.
I, being a cord-cutting, anti-vaxxing, homeschooling MF-er, don't believe in television.
It's a real thing, whether you believe in it or not.
You may not believe in television, but it believes in you, Greg.
Oh, yes, it does.
I will say I've watched many MTV Movie Awards in the past. They're fun, obviously staged. I don't know if you guys know that or not. They do tell you who the winners are ahead of time.
Oh, yeah.
But I've actually attended one, and it was quite fun, quite entertaining. I'm kind of sad that I missed this one based off of the fact that two of my favorite movies in the last 4 months were nominated for so many things. Force Awakens and Deadpool. Just exciting news to see them win so many fun awards.
Yep. I haven't watched this show in a while, several years, and not because of the cord cutting thing. It came to a point where I just kind of lost interest in it. But I do remember the show in the past, always kind of tongue in cheek. Not taking itself real seriously. We talked about it before with them giving Chewbacca a Lifetime Achievement Award, so that just goes to show that it's all for fun. Right. And yeah, I think it shows. I approve of the show.
Well, any way we can keep Star Wars in the headlines, I think is positive.
I will say Chewie was in good company. He and Jason Voorhees and Ron Howard's brother, Clint Howard all won that award, so.
That is a movie I want to see starring all of those people.
I will say, after this thing, which is one of my favorites, seeing Jason Voorhees win that award with the soundtrack of Frank Sinatra's My Way, brilliant. One of the most brilliant clips I've ever seen edited together.
You know, when you think about it, it really all makes sense. And this is why none of us work for marketing for a major motion picture corporation right here. Because we all speculated when the trailer was released. And when you think about it, it's painfully obvious that as soon as the marketing machine had closed its book, basically, on episode 7 with the release of the DVD,
right,
they, within 2 days, released the trailer for Force Awakens. And why didn't any of us go, hey, you know what? They want to market Force Awakens, you know, and get everybody to buy that and then start marketing this new movie as well.
Right.
Yeah. None of us called that at all.
None of us.
We suck.
All right. Well, we should know when the next one's coming. We got to learn from our mistakes. So we will be better predictors next time.
Excellent.
All right, so in the meantime, we also had a fun little clip that was released online. John Boyega and Daisley Ridley rapping together. This is from TheGuardian.com. Check it out.
I've got a good eye for talent. And Daisy was just doing like a little rap one day, and I just said, you know what? I can make you a big star. So we decided to collaborate on a song together. 1, 2, 3, go.
We all up in the desert and we're filming Star Wars. Because of our diet, we can't eat no Mars bars. Because of the explosion shape, crawling on our floors. Because of all the heat, we can really make some s'mores in the desert. What? In the desert. What? What? In the desert. What? In the desert. What? What?
Go to light speed.
There you have it. Two really good ambassadors for this franchise. Say what you want about them, but these guys are energetic, they're happy, they're thrilled to be in Star Wars, they're in one of the biggest movies of all time, living the big life, and they just come across as just genuine and fun, and I love them. I think they're doing a good job.
Yeah, I got that same feeling from them watching the extras on the Star Wars disc as well. Just a couple of really fun kids enjoying their time in this, you know, machine that is Star Wars. And it's really refreshing that they're not, you know, being all weird about it or just letting it, treating it like more than that they're not having the time of their lives doing it, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. They really just seem like they're having fun with it. And that's really refreshing to see.
For so many years, we had, you know, the principal Star Wars actors sort of, you know, dismissing it. I mean, Harrison Ford didn't want to have anything to do with it for a long time. Carrie Fisher couldn't talk about it unless she was talking about how many, you know, drugs she had done while she filmed the scene or that scene. It's just nice to have a couple of stars that are out there promoting the thing and you know, loving it. And obviously, I would imagine this is part of their contract, part of what they have to do, but you know, doesn't bother me. I mean, I think they're just doing a great job.
I agree. But I also see this as it is part of their contract. They are young and new to this, even though what I see is a genuine love for it. I mean, their energy, their excitement. I love seeing the interviews with each one of those actors. Goodness, I don't want to forget their names, but Poe.
Oscar Isaac.
Oscar Isaac, who's coming up in the new X-Men movie.
Yep, he's the bad guy.
John Boyega, obviously, and then Daisy Ridley. Just amazing, wonderful, fresh, young, happy people, like excited to be. Plus, did you see, speaking of that, I had to do a quick shout out because we didn't do shout outs. Two of the members of the Hive had birthdays this month. I'd like to say happy birthday to Steve Baldwin.
Oh, thank you very much.
And another Hive member, Scotty Vansky.
It's you!
Happens to share a birthday with Daisy Ridley. And she actually posted this amazing video of her so excited to share that birthday with me. I'm honored. I'm honestly honored. You can see that video on our Facebook page. That's promotion right there.
That was really, really amazing that she did that, Scott. And, you know, that she took time out of her day to notice that it was your birthday, and she really got excited about it. So everyone
and
go
hers,
check that out.
We share the same birthday. I'm excited about that.
It's really, really amazing.
Well, she is a big fan.
I had to go there, guys. Sorry.
I appreciate it.
Wasn't
Thank
she our 100? Wasn't Daisy Ridley our 100th download? I'm pretty sure it was.
I cannot confirm nor deny that that is the case.
I'll just confirm it. It's okay. Don't worry about it.
All right, we're good. All right. All right, we've got also some episode 8 news, guys. This is kind of an exciting one. So the let's see, it's Melty, MELTY.com was reporting that, or reported, I should say, that Frank Oz was headed to the set of episode 8. This has been confirmed by Melty.com, and I quote, "It sounds like Frank Oz is going to the UK. And rumors suggest that this visit is not for leisure, but actually to advise Rian Johnson and his crew on the set of Star Wars Episode 8. Could this also suggest Yoda's return?" So we talked about this a little bit 2 weeks ago, but now we're seeing it. He is heading there, and boy, to me, that's a big clue. If he's headed there, that very likely means that Yoda might make an appearance. What do you think?
Spirit ghost. It's going to kick ass.
Either that or there's going to be some other puppet that shows up. It could be a whole bunch of anybody, you know?
Fozzie Bear.
Oh,
Miss Piggy.
All right, completely off topic, but, you know, it's what we do. Have you seen the commercial with the Cookie Monster and Siri?
Yes.
It's so funny. I got a kick out of that one.
What's going on with this one? I haven't seen it.
So the Cookie Monster is making cookies, and his hands are covered with flour, and so he says, you know, Siri, can you set a timer for 1 minute? And Siri sets the timer. And then he's really impatient, waiting for the cookies to come out of the oven. Or no, can you set it for 15 minutes, I guess, or whatever. And so he's doing all this stuff, wasting time, and then 15 seconds, you know, and then he says, you know, Siri, how much more time? And it's only been 15 seconds. It's a great little clip.
And the music for the commercial makes it worthwhile.
I should have had that queued up.
I'm on it. I'll watch this thing.
Maybe I'll insert that into the show. That's some good stuff there. Anyway, so Frank Oz, it's looking more like it's a foregone conclusion that we're going to see some Yoda in episode 8.
That would be fun.
That'd be pretty cool.
We also had another piece of Episode 8 news with another casting confirmation here earlier this week, and this is reported by HNGN.com. It was reported that earlier this week it was announced that UK comedian Aidan Edmondson has secured a mystery role in Star Wars Episode 8. Don't know if any of you are familiar with Aidan Edmondson. I was not. But I turned to the YouTube and was able to find there's quite a bit of Aidan Edmondson material on YouTube. And I did find a clip here. He's on looks like to be a morning show, like Good Morning Britain. And I don't know who is interviewing him. I apologize for that. But here is Aidan Edmondson being interviewed on Good Morning Britain.
You've done so many different things, amazingly varied career actually, and we saw some of it there. But if you could be remembered,
But then,
lost it.
But no, and then,
darn it, That was weird. My browser crashed. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Well, you're bringing that back up. You know, the last time, you know, this is a different trilogy and a different creative team altogether, but the last time I got excited about a comedian making a surprise, taking on a surprise role in one of the Star Wars movies was when I heard Greg Proops was going to be in episode one. Greg Proops is a comedian. You've seen him on Whose Line. His voice is very recognizable. He's funny. His stand-up's funny. But he ended up doing the voice of the announcer during the pod race, which was kind of lame.
Cartoonish.
Yes, and so I just thought that was a waste of his talent. So again, new creative team, new story. You know, it's a new world we live in. So I hope I'm not disappointed again.
Well, this guy, if you look him up, Aid Edmondson on YouTube, he's got some funny stuff. He's been on British TV for 20 years or more, and started as a young guy playing a punk rocker, and he's all punked out and beating everyone up and crushing everything in sight. It's pretty good stuff. Look him up, Aid Edmondson on YouTube, and it looks like he's going to be in episode 8.
Excellent. Oh. Can't wait.
So we did have some other news. We've got, Greg, you actually shared this with the group, CNBC reporting that Star Wars original trilogy is going to be hitting theaters in August.
Yay!
That is fun stuff. And so this article says, the original Star Wars trilogy is headed back to theaters thanks to Alamo Drafthouse. The theater chain revealed on Tuesday, this was Tuesday, April 12th, that it will sponsor a nationwide roadshow of A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. And Greg, was it August 5th that you said it was coming to L.A.? But
6th. I think
August 6th, and unfortunately some of us have a concert to go to that night. But is anyone planning to go see the original trilogy in the theater?
I would love to say yes, but based off of this news and what you reported, it is the special edition versions, and I have seen this movie quite a few times in the theater. So on this one, I'm going to have to pass.
Yep.
I am undecided. My calendar is open that day because I don't have concert plans.
No, you do have concert plans, sir.
Well, it's not on my calendar, so apparently I don't.
Dave, all your stuff is on Greg's calendar. Don't you know that by now?
I know for a fact that somebody bought 4 seats for you guys at that concert.
You better be going.
Somebody better remember to send me an invite then, because if it's not on this calendar, it doesn't exist.
Unless it's on your girlfriend's calendar, in which case...
Hey-o.
It does.
You know, I seem to be open. Greg, you have a couple extra tickets?
You'll want to talk to a Mrs. Baldwin about that one. She's the one with those 4 tickets.
Okay.
I have a connection there. I can make that conversation happen.
I appreciate it. Well, just don't tell her I forgot, for God's sakes. Let's just keep this to ourselves.
You know what? If we didn't all have a concert we were going to that day, I think I totally would go do this. I think I would. It's, you know, it is all 3 movies, and so it's like a 9-hour commitment at a theater seat. So,
yeah.
Great.
But I, you know.
Were you – actually, I'm not just asking Greg, actually the whole group, but were you all part of the 97 reissue when it came out in the theaters in January, February, and March?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes,
yes, yes, yes. 1,000 times yes.
Yeah. And I would go to this as well, at least for A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back. Jedi, to be honest, I don't know if I would sit through, but I would for sure go to Ep 4 and 5.
And no if word I'm on in for 4 and 5, I'm in for Jedi 2.
Yeah.
No word on pricing on this yet, so I don't know exactly, because it's all 3 movies, and it's not in like a movie theater, at least here in L.A. They're showing it at the theater at the Ace Hotel, which also hosts concerts and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I have no idea what the pricing would be.
Mrs. Baldwin saw a show there and raved about it, the Ace Hotel. Really cool venue, she said.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So also in the news, guys, we had one of my favorite Star Wars actors playing my favorite Star Wars character, Ewan McGregor, in an interview talking about the possibility of reviving his character for another trilogy. What?
Because a lot of people are wondering, have you met with Kathleen Kennedy to talk about, they're doing these anthology movies for Star Wars, a lot of people would love to see an Obi-Wan with you, standalone movie. Have you had those conversations?
I'd very much like to do one too. I think the story between Episode 3 and Episode 4, I think there's a story there. What I think that's the Obi-Wan Kenobi movie, if there is one. Is after sort of the one that bridges my Obi-Wan Kenobi and Alec Guinness's Obi-Wan Kenobi, and because there's what 20 years, I don't know how long he's in the desert there, but there's got to be 20 or 30 years.
Well, there's definitely room to play with something there.
Yeah,
it could be literally anything. And what excites a lot of people is how Rogue One takes place before Star Wars.
Right.
You know, it's like the sealing of the Death Star plans,
yeah.
Which shows they're willing to play in that time period.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, as a studio.
Yeah.
So have you met with her? Have you had the conversations?
I'm not sure that I'm at liberty to say, really.
Not at liberty to say, really.
Can I just say, any Obi-Wan movie is going to be great as long as I get to see him puking his brains out in the worst bathroom in the UK. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, that's a different movie.
Was he puking in that bathroom, or was he just was he searching for his suppositories that dropped in the toilet?
Close enough, right?
Oh, that sounds like Mad Libs, but that's actually what he was doing. Jesus Christ, take my money goddamn right now. I would go see that movie in a second. Yes. I would go see two trilogies of that movie. I thought he was the best part of the prequel movies. Do it. What are you waiting for? Why aren't you making this right now?
Well, it sounds like to me that's, you know, I don't know if I can talk about that. That's code for, yeah, we've talked about it. How can they not be talking about it? He's the perfect age right now to play.
Yeah.
He's just the perfect age to play that middle-aged, 30, almost 40-something Obi-Wan in the desert waiting on Luke. There's a lot of stuff going on Tatooine there. I'm with you, Greg. Take my money now. I'm ready to sign up today.
This is the movie I want to see, guys. This is the movie I want to see. Now, Obi-Wan Kenobi standing out in the desert, spying on a little boy from afar.
Yes. Yes, wait, take my money.
Wait, what?
It does have a little bit of a creep factor in there, but that's okay.
Well, like you said in the clip, there's plenty of room to play with something there.
Can't he be riding a crate dragon while spying on a little boy? That's all I'm
saying. Nico, can you call 911 really quick and send them over to the Lentz house?
Don't worry, I've got Child Protective Services on speed dial after living with Greg.
You just learned something totally new here.
Oh my god.
So good.
That just took a turn. Let's go back to Obi-Wan Kenobi. How about that? There's a lot of story to tell there, and you know, you've got an actor that's the perfect age that is ready to do it. I love how he's guessing, like, is it 20, 30 years between the movies? You know, he doesn't really know, but he knows enough that he's excited about it, and I think it would be a great, great, great move.
I agree.
Agreed. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It sounds like it's a fantastic idea.
All right.
I'll watch that movie if he's sitting in Mos Eisley Cantina, boozing it up, picking fights with Walrus Man. Eventually he's going to cut off his arm. That's a brilliant film right there. I'm all over this. I don't care what he does. Put Obi-Wan in a movie in the desert. Unfortunately, watching a young boy, but that's okay.
You know, I heard someone talk, or I read someone talking online about, the Maz Kanata bar scene in Episode 7, and they were saying that Walrus Man was walking around with one arm somewhere in that shot.
What?
Oh my God!
Yes, I cannot confirm, but that's what I read.
clearly, I have some time to spend with the Blu-ray this weekend.
All right.
Can we bring up the Blu-ray?
I cannot recommend enough. I cannot recommend enough to going back and watching the Robot Chicken that has Ponda Baba's backstory where he's an architect. And
it's so great.
He's like, come out and have a drink. No, I got work to do. come on, it'll be fun. Okay, fine.
Those guys.
Oh, he's like, I love your hair.
Is that Seth Green and Brecken Meyer, right? That do that show. Oh, and
Matt Seidenreich is the other creator, but Brecken Meyer does he's on every episode. Yeah,
yeah. Are we going to talk about any of the DVD? Or are we going to follow up with that or the Blu-ray? Forgive me.
Never, Scott. Never.
Yeah. Damn
never.
You.
You know, we do not have it in the show notes, but you know, we very well. We I think we need to devote a whole show to that. Other than our episode 7.5, our unboxing review of the Target Blu-ray special edition. No, not the special edition. The Target Blu-ray and digital download. We did episode 7.5. We talked about it for half an hour on on the show.
How is my digital download?
I got my own. I didn't have to use yours. Okay. I went the very next night after work, and I actually bought a Blu-ray player because I didn't own one yet, just so I could get the Blu-ray version with the extra goodies.
Nice.
When did this happen? Why was I not called? What are you guys talking about?
Oh, that's right. That was when Greg was at an Angels game.
Damn you, Angel game!
I believe we anointed...
emoticons was that? 7?
I like 5.
5. Oh, 5. Yep.
I think we decided Greg was their bad luck charm.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. That's okay. I got to hang out with Sammy and you guys did. So
damn you. Damn you, Sammy, for taking our co-host.
We'll get him on the show eventually. Yes. Hey, so who's seen what on these things? I'm just doing a quick cover-up before we do an entire episode dedicated to it. Have you seen all the extra footage, deleted scenes?
I watched like the hour documentary that's on there.
Yes.
And I watched the deleted scenes. I didn't watch – there's all the little five-minute mini docs that are on there too. I didn't watch any of those yet.
Okay.
I'll get to that eventually.
I did watch everything. It took a few days, and I sort of piecemealed it, but I did finally get to everything. And I got to say, I was a little bit, disappointed in the deleted scenes. I was expecting more. I knew it was only 7, but they were kind of maybe brief is the right word,
Filler. It's really filler material.
Yeah. But I thought the documentaries were cool, and the shorts were great. Love all the interviews, and I have not seen the bonus Target stuff yet that I paid an extra $5 for. So I do need to go and watch that, but I've seen everything else.
Okay.
I have not had the opportunity to take a look at anything yet.
Okay.
I did watch the film as well, and it looks and sounds fantastic on Blu-ray.
Yep. Deleted, let's be honest, deleted scenes are deleted scenes for a reason.
Yes.
So, I don't think I had too much, I wasn't expecting a whole lot out of them. I did think it was funny how it just looked like they barely completed a lot of the effects for these shots just because they didn't want them to be like on just straight up on a blue screen or a green screen, whatever they used. Yeah. So it's funny how when you, looking that, comparing it to what they did in the movie and realizing that it's all the same sets there, how much work they put in to make that movie just look gorgeous.
Yeah.
And it really did look fantastic. So
yeah, the snow speeder chase sequence really shows. Like it's just past the storyboard animatics, whatever phase to, we added some effects, but it's not the totally finished version of it. And there are some goofy moments in that.
Yeah,
there's some great stuff there. There, JJ, there was a lot said and written about how he was very picky about where they used CGI, and he was very frugal with it. and there was one scene that was amazing to me when they're walking into Maz Kanata's castle, and you walking out of the castle is this, you know, 8 or 10 foot tall robotic droid creature, and then you walk past the droid and you look up and you see the flags. I would expect that the creature would have been CGI and the flags were actually there, but indeed it was the reverse. The creature was there and the flags were CGI. You know, that kind of stuff is really, really cool, and it's neat to see, you know, how they assembled that movie and the choices they made. Really fun stuff.
That scene is really interesting too, especially if you're looking for Easter eggs. That's a great sequence. All those flags have meaning of some sort. Most of them seem to have come from the pod race sequence from episode one. But you will see Boba Fett's, the Bantha skull or whatever the skull is that's on his armor up in those flags. It's really cool to go back and freeze frame that scene or even slow motion that shot. And it's really cool to see that stuff and pick them out, find all the different little hidden symbols and features there.
Yeah, I thought the building BB-8 was also fun. My boys really enjoyed watching that one. The Seventh Symphony was also really good. The John Williams featurette, really good stuff. Really nice Blu-ray, and you know, I'm gonna buy it again when they come out with all 9 movies together. so for now, this is a nice way to hold me over.
I will say the deleted sequence, which they showed a lot in the teasers for this, with Kylo Ren in the Falcon realizing that Han Solo was on the planet on the weapon, that sequence where he leaves the Falcon and looks up and sees the ships, I guess exiting out of hyperspace and flying down, all the X-wings coming down, was just that could have been in the movie for me. It really could have. I enjoyed the hell out of that shot.
I caught that too. I thought it was cool to see for him to see in daylight to see the X-wings coming down.
Yeah,
that was really neat.
Yeah. One scene that I enjoyed, but I'm kind of glad they cut, was the last one that's on there with Han Solo in the hallway getting, you know, quasi interrogated by the stormtroopers, and he's, you know, talking about the blasts. Well, I thought the scene was cute. I think it really would have taken me out of the movie because it, you know. It really makes those stormtroopers just look completely dumb.
So yes.
I'm glad it didn't make it in the final cut of the movie. It's a cute scene, but it, there's supposed to be a new generation of stormtroopers that are at least somewhat smart, and that made them look completely ridiculous.
Yeah. Wise choice on cutting that scene.
Yeah.
It's like you said, they're deleted scenes for a reason anymore.
That's right. Yeah, very close to a Keystone Cops moment there.
Yeah.
No, I agree. Good move. Good move on their part to cut that out. Well, guys, we've got a couple additional stories here to wrap up. Don't mean to end on a sour note, but we've got a couple of tough stories here to wrap the show up with.
It's cautionary tale, sir. Cautionary tale, first one.
No doubt about it. Star Wars actor Jake Lloyd.
Yeah.
Little Anakin Skywalker was moved to a psychiatric facility after spending nearly 10 months in jail. The former child star who portrayed young Anakin Skywalker in The Phantom Menace was arrested in June after he led the police on a wild high-speed car chase through 2 counties in South Carolina.
This is, now that's pod racing!
Yeah.
This is being reported by nydailynews.com, and on this link, there is a picture of the current Jake at age 27 and looks like a mugshot next to young Jake, who was in episode 1, of course. Cute little kid. And boy, how far he's fallen. I really read this and my heart went out to that family and to him. And certainly hope he gets better. But boy, what a shocker this was.
Yeah, all joking aside, you know, I think it was about 10 years ago he came out in these interviews and just really started saying how unhappy he was the way things had gone since Star Wars, and I really felt bad for him because, you know, he was a kid when all this went down, and all this was, you know, put upon him, and you know, he just didn't get a chance to grow up and just be a normal dude, and he was always, you know, young Anakin Skywalker, and boy, you sucked, and caught a lot of flack for it, and obviously messed him up, so... Really sad. So parents, don't push your kids to be actors, man. Don't grow up.
Well, how many child stars just end up, you know, really messed up? I mean,
a lot.
Pretty high percentage.
the overwhelming majority.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few that come out and they're okay, you know, but there's way more that don't. I mean, it's really got to suck to peak at like 8, you know.
Right.
That's really gotta. I mean, I guess you could say, yeah, he had the experience of doing it anyway. But you know, the rest of your life is just a slow downhill Corey Haim slide, you know. And who wants that? So,
I have to say that I think the only one that's really survived any of this stuff was Drew Barrymore, and she hit rock bottom fast and hard and came back pretty good, but. Yeah, most of them don't make it.
I mean, you know, there's a few you can point to, but I think they're the exceptions rather than the norms. I mean, you know, for every Justin Timberlake that busted out of NSYNC, there's a Joey Fat one that's out there too. So,
but I did hear what he was diagnosed with schizophrenia. Is that correct? Mm-hmm.
That's what I've heard too. I read that he actually attacked his mother at one point. And she didn't report it because she knew it would put her son, you know, in a very bad spot if she did that.
Yeah.
So yeah, for all the joking, and I made as many Mannequin Skywalker jokes as anybody did when that movie came out. It's horrible to think that that's the effect that it probably had on him. He was in one of the most popular, commercially successful movies at that time, and nobody liked him, and he was 8.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that mental illness that he had could have been there already, and that could have been a serious trigger. I mean,
oh yeah,
that's too bad.
Yep.
Hopefully, he'll be able to get the help that he needs.
And our heart certainly goes out to his family, as it.
Cheer us up now, Steve. Cheer us up.
Yeah.
Well, let's end on a high note.
Alcohol.
Unfortunately, we had a death in the Star Wars family. Last
God damn you!
Of weeks. Eric Bowersfield, who was the voice actor, famous for bringing Admiral Akbar to life, passed away at 93.
It's a trap.
It's a trap. Oh, well, let's try that again.
It's a trap.
There we go. Eric Bowersfield passed away at 93. In the 1983 space opera, Bowersfield voiced Akbar, delivering the iconic line, "It's a trap," when the fate of the Alliance looks grim during the Death Star fleet attack. And he was quoted back, looks like in 2001, talking about Steven Spielberg's AI, artificial intelligence. He said, "The voice work I did in the movies was accidental," he wrote on his website, Bay Area Radio Drama. "I was working with Randy Tom on radio dramas and his technical quarters at Lucasfilm, and one day Ben Burt, sound designer for Star Wars, came by and asked if I would audition for the movie." And he also did some voice work for, looks like, video game Star Wars X-Wing, a flight simulator game in the 90s. And
great game.
That was a fun game.
You can purchase it right now for like $8 on GOG.com, goodoldgames.com.
Nice.
Nice. Is that a digital download for your PC or Mac kind of a thing?
I don't know about Mac, but definitely for PC.
I'm not sure it was ever available for Mac.
Steam has a deal for their Star Wars games. I think it's like $99 for every Star Wars game that's available for PC. Every single one of them that Steam has in their library for $100, you get like 12 games.
Nice.
Now, the thing is, you go back and you play these games, because I did spend the $7.99 and bought the X-Wing game. You realize how crappy graphics was back in the day. Star Wars Battlefront, this is not.
Mm-hmm. So
true, but for the time, it is amazing what they were able to do with the very limited capabilities that they had back then.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I love all of the Star Wars games. Board games, card games, video games, I play them. I played way more than I've spent way more time playing these games than I really have any right claiming to. So,
yeah. Did anyone play the original Battlefront or Battlefront 2?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, both of them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Those are mm-hmm. fun. And what about the new one? Does anyone have Battlefront?
Love it.
Yeah.
I've
played it.
Yeah.
I do not have a next-gen system at this point in time. I'm still holding off, but that will probably be one of my first purchases when I do purchase a next-gen system.
Nobody has a next-gen console anymore, Greg. Don't you know they're all considered current-gen, and your PlayStation 3 is a last-gen?
Why don't you get off of my lawn?
Hey. You can't even be mad at the Millennial Falcon, bro.
Man. The captain laying down the laws of the Millennials right now.
That was one of our first purchases with the Xbox One was the Battlefront with the membership thing. So we keep getting the new upgrades. And the Death Star pack is coming soon, I think.
I also read the Cloud City.
Yes.
Cloud City pack. Is that? Do you have that now or is that coming?
It's coming. June is Cloud City and Death Star is August, maybe September. I don't know. I have to look again.
Oh. I read that Lando will be part of that.
Yes. Ooh. Oh, and there is a Rogue One pack coming also.
What?
It's a good time for December.
Wow.
So.
Wow, DICE, man. They're killing it over there.
Yeah.
In the Sweden.
Hey, one quick thing. Who is the other actor or other character that Eric Bauersfeld played in Return of the Jedi, voiced?
Who?
Don't tell me. I'm not going to look it up because I know this. How long is this show? How long are we running tonight?
You got about 30 seconds.
Lando's co-pilot.
Oh. Is that true?
Nine Nub? Was it Nine Nub?
Nine might be Nine Nub.
It is not.
Oh.
Oh, damn it. All right.
Was it a good guess?
I think it's a good guess, but it's not near that character. It's okay. Much earlier in the film. How about that?
Okay.
Damn it.
He's the butler guy, not Salacious Crumb. He's
he's Alfred. Holy crap!
he's Jabba's right hand man. And the name is escaping me right now. But he's Jabba's right hand man, dude.
That is
the
great.
the one who serves his master well and will be rewarded.
Yes, it is Bib Fortuna. Yeah.
Bib Fortuna. How could I forget Bib Fortuna?
Oh my so God. That's one call of the, yourself a Star Wars fan.
That's one of the greatest Star Wars names, too. Bib Fortuna.
No, it is. I mean, I think what it was is George was sitting at home and he had just made himself a tuna fish sandwich.
Yes.
And he knew it was going to be messy and he grabbed a bib and he's like, I need this bib.
Fortuna.
Eat this bib Fortuna. that's what I'm gonna call him,
Katie. I need a give me a bib.
So now we know when he was writing.
What do you need that bib for, George?
I'm eating a tuna sandwich. Bring
bib
it
for tuna.
I need the bib. My God. Where's that damn bib?
For tuna.
It's a trap.
The Mon Calamari, he was a hungry guy, wasn't he?
Chewie, anybody gonna go there?
Episode 8 is in the books, people. This has been fun, guys. We covered a lot tonight. Bib Fortuna. We need to thank our sponsors. Wait, hold on, we don't have any sponsors.
I want to thank Timeless Pints.
Well, Barley Forge. Oh boy, we need Timeless Pints and Barley Forge to sponsor the show.
I need to thank Jameson Caskmates.
Our shows would run really long, tell you that. If anyone's interested in sponsoring the Wretched Hive podcast, you can reach out to us. Email us at wretchedhive@yahoo.com or connect with us on Facebook, facebook.com/wretchedhivepodcast. You can also tweet at us at wretchhivepod on Twitter. And we also have an Instagram account at wretchedhive_podcast. And if you're not a sponsor, but you want to follow us on iTunes, search for us on iTunes. Just bring up the podcast page on iTunes and search for The Wretched Hive, and we are the first show that comes up on your feed there. Click follow, and you will subscribe and receive the shows on your mobile device. We encourage you to do that. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to have your review. 5 stars, 1 star, any stars. We don't care. We just want to connect with you and have you be part of the show. And guys, it's been a lot of fun this week. Thanks for making time for it. And any parting thoughts? You got about 30 seconds.
I want to add to your long list of links and everything. Please, if you are listening to the show, share with your friends. I know you have Star Wars friends out there. We'd love to have more people listening, checking us out. We got a lot of things to say, and we love hearing from you. So please leave feedback. Send us emails, Facebook, anything.
Comment on Scott's posts on Facebook.
I love it.
Well done with your post, sir. Nice job. We'll see you guys in a couple of weeks. April 30th, I believe, is our next show. Have a great couple of weeks.
Peace out.